Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. Then he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So today's reading describes the transfiguration of Jesus. And it's a difficult passage to understand because it takes us into the heavenly realms, which we find unreal. The temptation, therefore, is to either ignore it or to quickly try and explain it away. So as we look at the verses, let's just pray for a moment. Father, we ask that you will open our minds to understand your word. Open our eyes to see Jesus glorified. Open our ears to listen to you. And open our hearts to respond to your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the account of the Transfiguration is given in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. And although John does not describe it in any detail, he does allude to it at the beginning of his Gospel. In the next 15 minutes, we're going to look together at the context and the content of the reading, and then consider how it might apply to our lives. The transfiguration of Jesus occurs about 2.5 years into his 3-year ministry. He and the disciples have just come from Caesarea Philippi, north of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus has asked them, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter has replied, "You are the Messiah." Jesus has then gone on to explain to them that he will be killed and rise again after 3 days, which is not what they expected of the Messiah. Jesus knows he is going to Jerusalem and to the cross. And from this point onwards, he is trying to prepare the disciples for that fact. So with this background, let us now look at the text verse by verse, and see what it says. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. It is not clear why Jesus took these three disciples with him. One explanation is that in the Jewish law, for a matter to be considered true, it required 2 or 3 witnesses. And in other places in the Gospels, these 3 men seem to form an inner circle of Jesus' disciples. Verse 3, there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. The word transfigured in Greek is metamorphose, meaning a change in form. It's used in biology to describe the process whereby a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. The description of the metamorphosed Jesus in the three gospel accounts describes his clothing becoming brilliant white and his face radiant. Verse 4, and there appeared before them Elijah and Moses who were talking with Jesus. Although there are several theories of why it was Moses and Elijah, it is not clear why these two Old Testament persons were present, as opposed to, let's say, David or Abraham. Certainly their presence would signify to Peter, James and John the reality of life after death and the resurrection. It would also confirm to them that Jesus is the Messiah, promised in Jewish scripture, both in the Torah, Moses, and in the prophets, Elijah. Verses 5 and 6. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Peter is often the spokesperson for the disciples. In his fear, he cannot keep quiet. So he offers to put up three tents for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He wants to do something for Jesus rather than taking time to look at the glorified Jesus. His offer seems to be a worldly intervention at the time of a heavenly encounter. Verse 7, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, this is my son, whom I love, listen to him. The cloud signifies the presence of God. God appeared in a cloud at the tabernacle and to lead the Israelite people in the wilderness. And God also appeared in a cloud when Solomon consecrated the first temple. It would appear that when God speaks from the cloud, he is addressing the three disciples. His words are few and full of meaning. This is my son. I love him. Listen to him. God had spoken similar words at the baptism of Jesus, but listen to him is new. Verse 8 and 9. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. In an instant, the transfiguration is over. God has spoken, Moses and Elijah are gone, and Jesus returns to his earthly form. As they leave the mountain, Jesus tells them not to tell anyone until the Son of Man has been killed and raised from the dead. Peter, James, and John must have been exhilarated and yet very confused by what they saw and heard on the mountain. But in time, they would understand and they would be witnesses to the world of the transfigured, glorified Jesus. Let's now pause and sing, and then we will briefly consider the two questions about the transfiguration and how it applies to our lives. So in the second part of the talk, I'd like us to consider two questions. Why was Jesus transfigured and what does transfiguration mean? As we consider the transfiguration, we encounter Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, Peter interrupting, and then God intervening. It may be that the words of Moses and Elijah were to encourage Jesus as he faced the future. What is clear is that Peter, James, and John saw the resurrected Moses and Elijah and heard God's words about Jesus. If they had any doubt before, they now knew Jesus was the Son of God, not just a good moral teacher or a religious leader, but Jesus is the Messiah. They were also told to listen to him. Peter went on to be the spokesperson for the early church, and on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and proclaimed to the crowd, "Let all Israel know this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." The transfiguration was part of Peter's journey of faith. It started with him following Jesus as a teacher who spoke with authority and did some miracles, to an understanding that Jesus was God, Saviour of the world, risen from the dead, and now glorified in heaven with the Father. Later, Peter wrote in his second letter about the transfiguration. Jesus received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So a purpose of the transfiguration of Jesus was to show the disciples that God the Father was glorifying his only beloved Son and telling the disciples to listen to him. The second question to consider is, what does transfiguration mean? As we mentioned, the Greek word is metamorphos, meaning a change in form. The disciples saw Jesus dressed in brilliant white clothing and his face being radiant with light. John, in his gospel, describing Jesus as the Word, says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." John explains that they have seen Jesus, the Word of God, who became a man and lived with them, and they have also seen the glorified Jesus in his heavenly form as the Father's Son. In the transfiguration, we glimpse the metamorphosis of the earthly Jesus to a heavenly glorified Son of God. The word metamorphose is found in only two other places in the whole of the New Testament, and both times it's in relation to followers of Jesus. Paul uses it in his letter to the church in Corinth. "We who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." Paul says, as we look at Jesus, his life and his teachings, and as we trust and follow him as our Saviour, we are transformed, metamorphosed into his likeness. The second use of metamorphose is when Paul writes to encourage the believers in Rome. "I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. We are encouraged by Paul to offer our lives to God and so become his people. We are not to follow the ways of the world. Rather, we are to be transformed, metamorphosed as we follow and listen to Jesus. So in summary, the transfiguration of Jesus tells his followers, Jesus is the beloved Son of God. We are to listen to him and we glimpse the glorified Jesus. It also offers us the prospect of transformation or metamorphosis. If we trust in him as our Saviour, and if we listen to him and follow him as disciples, he will transform us into his likeness. And one day, we also will be with him in glory. Sometimes life is hard. It's a drudge. We feel down and ready to give up. Maybe we want to crawl away and hide like a caterpillar. But the word of God and the transfiguration tells us that in Jesus, God sees us differently. Therefore, let us live in the knowledge and faith that in Christ, we are like butterflies, beautiful in his righteousness and free to enjoy his creation. As we enter Lent this coming week, let us listen to Jesus so that we can be changed, metamorphosed into his likeness. Amen.